This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Everybody, we are going to talk about the past 5 days in this economy for the next 6 or 7 minutes or so, and we are going to do it this way. We will get to the nuts and bolts of things, of course, today's jobs report, the Federal Reserve, yada, yada, yada. And then we're going to get to the politics of it a little bit because it is getting to be that time. So, Sudeep Reddy is at Politico. Heather Long is at The Washington Post. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
Sudeep, let me start with you and this morning's jobs report. 216,000 new jobs last month. The economy added the unemployment rate at 3.7%. Does this change your base case analysis of this economy at all?
It does not change that much. People are calling it Goldilocks. The Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was out there doing a soft landing victory lap, which Madam Secretary is very bold to be doing something like that in a moment like this. But she's on the facts of today. She's pretty much right. Inflation has been coming down. The job market has been slowing down, but not in a terribly bad way. This is a very good place to be and not where any of us expected we would be. If you look back a year ago, there was a lot of angst about what would be coming. And the people who are in charge of engineering this deserve a lot of credit for getting to this point after they get the blame for screwing it up in the first place.
Right, as is always the case. Heather, I want to pick up on the very faint hemming and hawing Sudeep did at the top of his answer, because while good this jobs report was and Goldilocks and all that, and we are economically in a good place, it is not all sunshine and light.
That's probably true. I'd call it a B-plus report, so still pretty light. Wow. But why do we downgrade it from an A? And you're right. The funny thing, the head-scratcher here was we saw a big drop-off in labor force participation and in employment, particularly among 20 people in prime age, 25-year-old to 54-year-old. It's really odd. It's not fully explained. Did everybody suddenly decide, I want a job in November, and then December, they decided not to have a job? There were a bunch of revisions that happened to the report, some of this technical mumbo jumbo. So I would say it's one of those we're gonna watch. If you look at all the other job indicators, for instance, the unemployment claims that came out on Thursday, those still look really good. We're not seeing some surge in people suddenly losing jobs or struggling to find jobs. So there was that little bit of asterisk here, but I wouldn't say anybody's panicking.
Sudeep, just super quick on the people who get the credit and also the blame, specifically here, Jay Powell. Just very briefly, he breathed a little sigh of relief when this came out. What do you think his thoughts were?
He absolutely could and should breathe a sigh of relief. Yeah. He's also, though, looking at a whole long list of other non-government data that is flashing some sign of concern, and he's got to watch that very nervously. There are purchasing manager gauges that don't look very pretty right now. Some are manufacturing in recession. Services not as good as it should be right now. There I could probably come up with a dozen of them right off the top of my head. And he's watching those and thinking, oh boy, could it still be a bumpy 2024?
Well, Heather, do a little bit of that work, right? Separate the signal from the noise here. What is the thing things you are going to be looking at versus the stuff that the rest of us just shouldn't pay attention to?
For me, the number one thing to watch are the jobless claims and the number of people employed. We are a consumer economy at the end of the day, and as long as people stay employed and keep those paychecks coming, they will continue to spend, as we learned through this holiday. So far, no real panic signs yet, but certainly week to week, that data on Thursday morning is very important.
Yeah. Okay, so let's turn to the politics of this economy, because it is going to become increasingly relevant as the year goes on. Sudeep, we were talking about our chat in our morning meeting this morning, and I said to the producers, I said, so look, I've got this note that I want to talk to Sudeep about. It says, when is Congress going to start screwing things up? And Sean McHenry, who is directing the program today, said Monday. What do you think?
We have a couple more weeks than that before Congress could screw it up. Look, the incentives are stacked in favor of both parties getting something done, because neither one wants to be the blame, get the blame in an election year for screwing it up. And so the rational politics are set up that way, but we all know Congress is not rational, and and the Speaker, Speaker Johnson, has a lot of problems he's got to deal with in his caucus. And so he knows this is the one thing he's got to get done if he wants to remain Speaker. And the one thing he needs to get done if he wants his party to win again in November. And so I do tend to lean slightly toward they're going to figure it out, but you never want to really make extensive bets on the United States Congress.
No one ever does. Remind me, Sudeep, the first date of government running out of money is the 19th, right?
We're looking at about roughly 2 weeks this has to get done.
Yeah. All right. Heather, you were writing earlier this week about the overall state of this economy, which we have agreed in this conversation and more broadly is good and going the right way. And you were writing about President Biden not getting the credit. And we all kind of know why, right? Prices are still elevated. People are feeling inflation. They hate inflation, even though it's coming down. Here's my question to you as we head into and are in now an election year. There will come a time when the economic mood gets firmly established before the election. We're not there yet, but my question to you is, how long does Biden have, do you think, to turn the mood around?
Ooh, well, basically April, May, June is when people will codify their view. That's the traditional research shows 6 months before the election, people lock in their assessment of the economy. The good news, if you're the White House, is a lot of these indicators have been coming in really strongly. Gas prices are generally down. Stock market has generally been up. And even the sentiment indicators, while certainly not high, have looked a little bit better in December and hopefully coming into January. And they've got a few more months to hopefully build on that. The bad news is the term Bidenomics is terrible. It's not resonating. People don't like it. They really need a new word. Maybe they should adopt Beyonce's Renaissance term. I don't know. But and they need some better messengers. Right or wrong, you got to kind of scratch your head and say, why can the White House not find someone who could really deliver this message well for them?
Sudeep, what do you think? Can he do it?
He's got to ask that age-old question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And he can find a way to answer that in a way that benefits him. He just has to make sure nothing else goes wrong in the next few months with a world on fire and a lot of oil-relevant crises out there. There are things that could go wrong, but if he can keep that from going wrong, he actually can pull this off in terms of reshaping the narrative in the coming months.
Sudeep Reddy at Politico on this Friday. Heather Long as well. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.